Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 548. My name's James Gilmore. Joining me today is Matthew Ford.
Hello, sir.
And we come at you from the midst, or I should say the end, really, of Pocket Gamer Connects Digital number 6. It's wrapping up as we speak. We've scurried away to a little digital corner to do our own little mini chat.
Yeah, if this was a live event, we'd be like, as you say, huddled in the corner somewhere or all snuck out the back door or something just to record a little bit.
I've done those like impromptu podcasts where you're like sitting on the steps outside the convention center at E3 and there's just terrible background hubbub and also about a million other people from other sites and blogs all doing their own little reporting. Nothing makes you feel more inadequate when you come out of there and you start filming your stuff and you're starting out in the industry and you've got like a little handy cam or something like that, or you're using your phone and then IGN sits next to you with its gigantic 4K rig and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I know. I remember the days when, you know, first year or whatever, I went to EGX and I literally had my, it was like an iPhone 5 or something really crap, like, and it was just like, I had to record everything on there. And it's just like, oh, it worked, but you know, you just muddle your way through it, don't you?
You gotta start somewhere, which is, and funnily enough, what a lot of the talks are about. If you ever fancy coming to one of these Pokemon Connects digital events, by the by, it covers the full gamut of stuff. I don't need to pitch it because the show is nearly finished, so you can't come to this one.
But there will be another.
Yeah, there will be more. There's always stuff that you gravitate towards. There's one track called DevTools, which I really love because they go into like the specifics of every aspect of game design. So they'll talk about, you know, using engines. They'll talk about video rendering software. They'll talk about audio, soundstage building and stuff like that. So if you have a specific niche or interest, the investing stuff, the financials, which I know you were covering a lot of, Matt, that's sort of like of less personal interest, though I probably should be interested in it and explains why I'm poor. But yeah, it's really nice to like dive in and out of these things and find the bits that you like. So it's been a good
show. It's very good. You know, I do feel like we do a lot of stuff that nobody else in the industry does. Like we cover really a lot of, I should say, the niche topics and really go into the nitty gritty of it all. I got to talk about, you know, multi-platform development with indies. So I got to host that, which was lots of fun. And, you know, there's a good variety.
Transmedia, which is what we're doing, our own standalone event called Beyond Games, which is happening in like a month or so. Go and have a look at that, because this is a brand new thing we've launched and it's public facing. Rather than it being for people inside the industry, it's for everyone, this one. So come and have a look. And obviously, Pokemon Connects London is happening in some form in July. We'll hope to see you all there. However, we've managed to scurry away, find a little bit of time to talk about standard gaming business for the podcast. We didn't know if we could do it, but you know what? We're going to fit it in anyway. So we have got an entire Apple event to cover and recap. We've got information about a Battlefield game coming to mobile. We've got the full RuneScape on the way as well. Plus, new releases, including the likes of Warhammer 40k Mechanicus, Saga Frontier Remastered, Infinite Lag Range, Cut the Rope Remastered, and more. But first, the news. So I caught up with this Apple event. I did not watch it live because I find it much more informative to watch the 5-minute summation video when it's
done. Are handy.
They are good. And do away with all of the double speak that comes from these things. Cut away the spin. Tell me the details. And the details are purple things. That's what everybody came away excited about. Purple iPhone 12s, a whole bunch of different colored iMacs, of which I think purple is one. So let's talk about the iMacs, first of all. They look more and more now like an iPad with a stand.
Yep. Definitely see that.
Great big iPad with a stand on the back. To be fair, like, incredibly impressive because they are so thin. They are so thin and tiny and lovely. I like the fact they're going back to the multicolored stuff from the early noughties, which was the kind of thing that brought Apple back from the dead to some degree. All those big perspex, see-through plastic mixed with, you know, colors. They're evoking that era again. But they're doing it with their fancy new M1 chip that's getting stuck in the new iPad Pro, and I think it's going into the iMacs, I'm not sure. But this is this crazy new chip that is able to do both graphics and CPU business. Now and then you get big revolutions in chip tech, and people have been talking about this M1 in the way that, like, oh, this kind of makes all other chips look very outdated and inefficient now. Bugger. So maybe have a peek at that. Also, there's some very good news if you want to track either your property, your phone, or your loved ones.
Yes, AirTags.
AirTags.
Yeah, a 4-pack.
Yeah, I know, right? That was the big thing. Who do you love most?
Yeah.
So yeah, these are little tracking chips. So obviously we've all got like Find Me technology that you can use in your phones, you can activate it in your laptops and whatnot. And to be fair, this tech is not new. I've seen these things that you can buy and put on key rings and stuff. These have been available for ages, the ability to track things via a little tag of some kind. But this is Apple's official version. They demonstrate it by literally kind of, they turn it into an AR game where you can stick this little circular tag, this little disc onto whatever, and then you can track it on the phone, and it even does a little like, you know, arrow on the screen, like you're following a compass and going, oh, you are 12 feet away, 11 feet away, and you can actually track it down. I get the impression parents everywhere across the land are going to be stealthing this into their kids' backpacks or, you know, sewing it into the inside of their jackets or their husbands and their wives, glove boxes, and all other manner of like insidious tracking stuff going on.
No one trusts anybody anymore, do they? Let's be honest. Like, everyone's going to be trying this.
Well, not yet. I know that my partner always looked at these things, and when she talks to folks who have kids, and they're like, oh, yeah, no, we've got tracking stuff on their phones. We need to see where they are and everything. And my partner's always horrified at this notion of like, you're literally like geo-tracking your kids all the time. And it gets into that, like, how paranoid and how worried are you about their personal safety versus how much do you respect their personal liberty? And if you're talking about a seven-year-old, then I respect their personal liberty not at all because they're a seven-year-old. So you are entirely responsible. When it gets to the idea of like, I'm going to sneak it into my husband's breast pocket, you're like,
maybe you should have a conversation instead of, like, you know, stalking him. Yeah.
It looks very slick. They've done it very nicely. It's quite expensive.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not cheap.
No, it's like 30 quid for one and then 100 quid for four, I think, is the deal. Yeah.
They launch April 30th.
Oh, yeah, April 30th. That's when they come out, quite right. There's been some mods to the Apple TV 4K. It's got a new remote. They spent a lot of time on this new remote, like it was a big deal. And I was like, meh. So remote control, get over it.
You've got an Apple TV, haven't you?
Somewhere. I don't use it, though. Why would I use an Apple TV? I've got a 4K TV with Apple TV on it in 4K as an app. So I've got literally no reason to use the big box that costs £200. Like,
yeah,
no.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Seems daft. The one thing that it does have that I like to look up is there is now an app that works with Apple TV where you can use the camera, the front-facing camera on your phone, hold it up to the TV, and it will use that camera to do color tests, like basically fire color test patterns for television calibration, which thrilled me no end until I realized I probably can't do it with that app that's on the TV I've got. Because getting your TV calibrated, as in getting the color temperature right, the color balance right, the brightness to contrast, and everything to academy levels or whatever, inverted commas, is really expensive. Because you need professional measuring software and you need someone with like a little emitter that you hang in front of your TV to detect the light and fire test patterns and all that kind of crap at it. Like literally, it's like 200 to 400 quid to get it done. And it's something that as a person who does video for a living, I really want because I want to be able to see the true color. But also, there's a lot of money to get the brightness right on your TV. So I want to see how effective this little thing is. That really appeals to me as a...
Hopefully save you a lot of fuss and hassle, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it won't be as accurate, but no. I'd be interested to try it regardless. So yeah, that's kind of cool. That was sort of it from the hardware point of view.
There was an Apple Card, wasn't there? That sort of thing. And like Apple Podcasts, wasn't it? A redesigned of that.
They've got nice pictures on the app now.
Yeah, so you might be able to find us there. There you go.
True.
There wasn't much else. Nothing games. Nothing.
No, not much in the way of games. It was just lots of pretty hardware and pretty colours. Colours were the focus for this one. And hey, who doesn't love purple things? I like purple things. My lounge is purple. I'm all for it. Well done, Apple. Let us continue the saga of the PlayStation Store. We talked a little while back about how they were shutting it all down. If you had a PlayStation 3, if you had a PS Vita, if you had a PSP, you would no longer be able to get access. You couldn't buy any new games and potentially couldn't update the games you currently had. The internet was outraged. And it seems that Sony has heard the internet's outraged and done a sharp 180 and gone, actually, no, we're not going to shut down the store. If you have a PlayStation 3 or a PS Vita, if you've got a PSP, you're still boned, sorry. But that's good news for you, Matthew, because you've got a PS Vita now.
It was. Guess what day it arrived?
Really?
Yes.
On the announcement. They heard your plight and they went, you know what, for that forward bloke, we'll reverse internal company policy.
Yeah, cheers, Jim. Cheers, Jim. I know he's always looking out for me, Mr. Ryan. I know.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I was obviously very happy. I was planning to sporadically buy a lot of games and just be like, well, this is gone forever, so I may as well get it and have it. So yeah, I can buy it at my own leisure now, which is always a nice thing.
I think they must be trying to do a little bit of a correction here, because we were talking before about, and there were articles written about, Sony doesn't care about old games anymore. Sony doesn't care about giving you its back catalog.
Preservation, all that, yes.
Whereas Microsoft over here is giving you all these opportunities and all these digital ways to download old games, and they really respect their old games library and their loyal customers. And Sony's gone, sorry. Actually, you know what? We did a baddie. We done an oopsie. Sorry. The quote is, "It's clear that we've made the wrong decision here," says your mate Jim, "and that when we initially came to the decision to end purchasing support, it was born out of a number of factors, so things like commerce, support challenges, focusing on new devices, yada, yada, yada. We now see that many of you are incredibly passionate about being able to continue purchasing classic games on PS3 and Vita for the foreseeable future. So I'm glad we're able to find a solution." Now, foreseeable future is key here, because this is obviously great. I think this is really nice. The question for me is, like, how much of a stopgap is this? How much is this just, like, delaying the inevitable off-switch press until, what, a year, 2 years? What are we going to get out of this?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because they've got to pay for servers to keep these things active and, you know, curation, all that sort of thing, just keeping an eye on it. I mean, Sony could afford it, like, I think, I'm pretty sure, but this is great. Sony have listened to feedback. I know the internet complain at everything, but this is one thing that I think most people wanted and most people at least understood.
I think this is not a very controversial kind of upset here.
No.
Like, being like, hey, I've bought this console and now you're saying I can't get the games on it anymore. Could we please have the game still? We'll give you money.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's not unreasonable, and I'm pleased to see it as well. I do feel it's pretty much just like, you know, they've delayed the executioner date to a slightly later date, but still it's good news, and it means that I don't have to jailbreak my PS3 quite yet, which is something that I saw a lot of people doing in response to the original story. They're like, hey, treat yourself, everyone, jailbreak your PS3,
go nuts,
and just smash a whole bunch of ISOs on there, go wild. And I sort of get it, and that's, you know, the classic thing with these big ROM sites existing, because after a while you're not gonna be able to get them anymore. So where'd you get them from?
This is why physical media still massively important.
That's why I've got a mini disc sitting on my lounge table right now. I found it going through a bunch of old stuff. A treasured medium, the mini disc. Excellent platform. Incredibly lossy. Insanely lossy.
Groundbreaking.
But I loved it. It was brilliant. Right. Let's talk shooty bangs. So we've had the incredibly successful Call of Duty Mobile slam its way onto your phones and whatnot. And Battlefield appears to be following suit. So Battlefield Mobile is being developed by Industrial Toys, and it's going to be coming to iOS and Android next year, so saith the story. The details fairly slim on this one, aren't they?
Not much, yes. I mean, the big thing is that the general manager of DICE, Oscar Gabrielsson, he just said, make no mistake, this is a standalone game, which is the big thing to take away from it. You know, it's not like a port or a spin-off thing. It's a completely, from the ground up, Battlefield game designed for mobile.
Yeah. And I think rather than it turning out to be some kind of RTS thing, or, I don't know, Battlefield Match 3 puzzler, they're going to go the route of Call of Duty Mobile and try and do that, but their own version of it, because, you know, not necessarily against all the odds, but finally Call of Duty came out on mobile in a form that's actually playable and fun and good. And I think Battlefield has gone, oh yeah, we need that. So fully fledged skill-based experience, which is the vaguest description of anything I've ever heard in my life. So the folks behind it, though, this is Industrial Toys. So they've made games called like Midnight Star and Midnight Star Renegade. Am I right in thinking those are racing games?
Potentially. I'll be honest, when I read it, I was like, they don't spring to mind of big developer or anything.
No, sci-fi shooters. There you go. I haven't played these ones, so that fits much more into the category I was expecting there. So yeah, they're giving it some time. They've announced it early, so not until next year. I don't know how long they've been working on it. They've got a ways to catch up, of course.
They have.
Call of Duty got ahead of them on this one.
It did. Obviously, Call of Duty has made massive bucks in the mobile games industry with this. Massive downloads, what was it, 100 million within like its first week.
That's a lot of clicks. So we'll obviously keep you up to date as to when this thing is due to go live. Another big franchise, the other one, is RuneScape, coming to mobile this summer. Not to be confused with, we should say, the RuneScape Classic, the old school RuneScape, as it was called, that came out a year or two ago. So the mobile release of that was basically the version of RuneScape that appeared in like 2009, 2010. It was like proper old original, and it was a nostalgia release.
It's actually called old school RuneScape, isn't it?
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
And I played it when it came out, and it's like, as someone who didn't play RuneScape at the time, it was properly an interesting experience trying to not only play this very, very old school MMO, but also try and play it on a touchscreen with somewhat optimized controls.
But
not
quite dated.
Not brilliantly optimized. This is the full thing. They are going for the current release available on mobile with optimized touchscreen controls and fully cross-platform compatible with the PC version that's running at the moment. So this really is a fully fleshed one-to-one thing, so they say. They are doing a pre-order, pre-register business right now. This is going to be very interesting if they're making this one-to-one. And if you have a look at the mobile interface that's on the story, Matt, that's a lot of buttons.
That is, yes, yes. What is that? Double figures, if not reaching 20.
Even just the battle prompt on each side of the screen, you're looking at like seven little buttons on either side. So 14 buttons there total. And that's not even taking into account the full drop-down lists of the menu items running down the right-hand side. I mean, this is a real Jackson Pollock of icons that have been busted over this screen.
It's a good way to describe it, yeah.
And I am intimidated just looking at it. Maybe it'll make sense if you're a RuneScaper.
God, if you don't have anything upwards of like an iPhone like 7 or 8, like you can't, like you'll be just one press and you'll hit about 13 buttons.
Oh God, in terms of size, yeah, I wouldn't like to play this on an iPhone 4S screen. That would be mental. I've been waiting for WoW or something like that, you know, the big MMOs to come over onto mobile, and they haven't as of yet. And I've always put that down to like, well, you can't necessarily replicate it one-to-one. There's too much going on for it to run on mobile and, you know, PC simultaneously and provide any kind of parity between the systems. But with things like Fortnite going cross-platform, everything else going cross-platform, now RuneScape going cross-platform, League of Legends did Wild Rift. It didn't go cross-platform, you see. They made the choice to make it separate from the main game. And I'm wondering with MMOs, like, maybe this could work. How long till we get... When's WoW coming over?
It's hard to say. I don't know. Blizzard, there's a lot happening at the minute, obviously. Jeff Kaplan left this week, obviously the Overwatch lead and everything. That's a game that I always think would be good for mobile. I don't know, I feel like they'd have done it by now if they were gonna.
Either way, so RuneScape, the full version, it's currently available for pre-register on both iOS and Android. 17th of June is the release date for this one. Free to play with IAPs, which is, I assume, how RuneScape runs at the moment anyway. So do go over and check it out. Out and about this week, I've played a couple of these, but not the big ones. Warhammer 40k Mechanicus has come out. £11.99. This has been kicking around on PC, at least in some form, like early access form, since about 2018.
Yeah, November, if I remember right.
Yeah, it is, in a term, XCOM, but Warhammer. It's got some differences thrown in terms of the way that the skills are upgraded over the course of each kind of level. And so you don't necessarily have full command of your capabilities when you start. You have to kind of unlock them as you go through a little bit. But in terms of, hey, you've got a little squad of folks that you carry through each level and you're moving them and it's turn-based RTS kind of stuff, it's very much that XCOM thing. It's got a lot of very, very popular ratings over there on the Steam. I haven't played the iPad version yet because we don't have it. We haven't been sent the code yet. So we don't know. But it is available, and it is, I think it's £11.99, $11.99. So a pricey one. Not seeing any reviews for it up on mobile yet. In fact, I've seen no reviews on the App Store yet.
Curious.
So it is an unknown quantity right now, but we're going to do our best to try and cover it because I'm interested. I like XCOM.
It looks very pretty.
And the PC version seems to be pretty cool. So we want to have a look at it. Warhammer 40k and Mechanicus. Same thing goes for Saga Frontier Remastered. This is a 90s era, I believe, JRPG that's been given a lick of paint. This is one of the ones I haven't played. I'm usually all right with the JRPGs, with the Final Fantasies and the Secrets of Mana. I even played Dragon Quest VIII, yeah. But I haven't played this one. It looks Secret of Mana-ish to me. Very cute and pretty. I understand the fan base is loyal and vocal. And this one is...
aren't they all?
Yeah. I think about around 7-8 quid, something like that. This isn't super cheap either. So you can go and have a look at that one. Something I have played though, Matt, and I should have talked about last week but did not, is Cut the Rope Remastered on Apple Arcade. Cut the Rope is one of the all-time best mobile game series ever.
I was going to say, it's been around a long time now.
Near the beginning of the App Store, back in the day, there was the Angry Birds franchise, there was the Where's My Water franchise with the little crocodile, and there was Cut the Rope. And those were the kind of three big stellar, alongside, you know, things like Cannibal and stuff like that, but yeah, the ones that spawned series and became very popular as like casual games. Those were the big three. Cut the Rope was my personal favorite. Zepto Labs, Russian company. And it was all lovely physics business. And it took advantage of the touchscreen so beautifully because you're just cutting this little rope that's dangling a candy and getting into the extremely cute character Om Nom's gob. And this remastered version for Apple Arcade, because I downloaded it and given it a play, it's just the original games. It's literally like the original Cut the Rope, and then there are several sequels that came up after it, the names of which I forget, most of which were very good. But there's about three or four sequels that came, and it's them all bundled together with a 3D lick of paint. So now Om Nom is, I've got to say, looking slightly less cute.
Aww.
As a result of his Pixarification. I like 2D Om Nom. He was adorable, but I'm a purist.
Release the, what is it, 2D Om Nom cut.
Release the Om Nom cut, yeah. But it doesn't matter because the gameplay is timeless. It's one of these things for me that really is like a simple ass mechanic that just works perfectly. And you can dress it up in 3D, you can make it 2D in black and white. It plays the same. And it's still as smart and clever and satisfying.
Very addictive, back then. Yeah,
I really, really like it. And it was just fun to open up and go, this is the same levels. I remember these so clearly. Lovely. Bit of a shame it's not available elsewhere, in fact, because it's an Apple Arcade exclusive.
Mm.
Presumably, you can still get hold of the original ones, so it's fine. But that was a lovely little blast of the past. And if you've never played them, seriously, don't be put off by like, oh, it's cartoony and it's silly and it's for kids. It's really, really clever, just like core gameplay stuff.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Lots of fun. From Zepto Lab as well, who I feel like sometimes don't get a lot of credit. Like, obviously, Rovio are so well known for Angry Birds, but I don't know if Zepto Lab are as well known, you know, obviously.
By their name, maybe not, but like... Om Nom has a massive ongoing web series. Like, it's big. Like, they are big. But no, I know what you mean. They don't have a theme park or anything. So yeah, that's available. And it's been out for a few weeks, but we're talking about it anyway. Infinite Lagrange, I played about 20 minutes of and could barely get past the opening credit-y movie stuff.
Oh, dear.
Space fleet game where you're building up a space fleet. It's one of those. It's the build. Here, you need a resource thing. Go and build a base building thing. Click on it. Oh, you can use this gem to speed it up. Build more. Here's a ship. Now you need to build weapons. Open a weapons plant. Blah, 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 blah. Send your fleet flying around the galaxy. It's one of those. Stand back. Overworld. You're looking at big solar systems and saying, you go there and it's going to take 15 minutes and come back and all of that. But again, 15-20 minutes of it, quite nicely presented. I was immediately bored, but it's not my thing. These things I find a bit like, ugh, thankless grinds, but it's NetEase, it's got some money behind it. It might be fun for you if you like that stuff. It's got a silly name though. Infinite Lagrange?
Not memorable.
No, it's a bit weird. But either way, that's out right now. Have you played anything of late, or are you just getting excited about Pokemon Snap?
I'm getting very excited about Pokemon Snap, yes. I cannot wait. Yeah.
Next week, is it?
It is, yeah. Next Friday it comes out. So I don't know if I'm getting a code ahead of time or not, but I will definitely be talking about it on the podcast sometime, and I will be sharing photos nonstop to my social media, so you can expect that.
And printing them out, if I understand this right.
Yeah, so this is cool, yeah. So it's a little, like... For the Switch, is it Nintendo that's done it, or is it a partnership?
It's a partnership. I think Fujifilm are behind the actual printer thing, but they're going to release a Pikachu-flavored version of this little mini printer. And the idea is that they've worked with them, and the Pokemon Company has come up with an app that lets you talk to this little portable printer. So you can take your photo on your Switch and then send it to this little tiny printer, and it prints out a little... mini Pokemon Polaroid,
yeah,
or whatever.
That's a nice idea, you know, these sort of things. Again, is price is always something I worry about with Nintendo and Pokemon and all that sort of thing. It's like, yes, this is adorable, but you know, give us 200 quid, they'll be like, and it's like, whoa.
But it's very on message. It's very on brand for them because, of course, we all remember the Game Boy printer.
Yes.
That, like, absolutely beautiful dot matrix looking bugger. They were giving love stuff like that. It's, and some, I know some people who still have them. Well, and the original Game Boy camera, which I know that there's lots of apps that you can use to replicate that effect, but it just made me think of that in a nice way. And then people are going to print out a picture of Pikachu holding a little apple like they have in the picture in the trailer.
Can't wait. Yeah, so I'll just give a quick shout out because it's been a manic week with PGC just still going on. I've been playing Golf Story again, which is this lovely RPG sort of adventure game from Sidebar Games. So it released when the Switch actually came out. I played it. I played about 6-7 hours of it. I really enjoyed it and I just dropped off and I've just been going back to it over the last week, just jumping in and out. Mostly because I've took up golf myself in real life. And then it's just...
Did you?
Yeah.
You Tory.
Yeah. Oh, God. Don't say that. It's a nice place and like this common scum walks in and it's all acceptable. So that's nice.
I can see the attraction of wandering around a big open space at the moment. Like, I'm not going
to
knock it.
Yeah, that's half of it, to be honest, just to be outside in somewhere different with obviously old pubs and everything. But Golf Story, yes, it's a lovely RPG game. It's got great writing, very, very funny. Your little character making his way up the ranks to become the best golfer around. The mechanics are very fun, very easy to pick up. I don't think it's a long game at all. I think it is only about 10 to 15 hours, if that. Like, I mean, I was very close last time to ending it. But it's just, it's very delightful. I've been having a good time with that. So I'd give that a quick shout out.
I remember Em liked it. So she reviewed it way back when, 2017?
It was one of the big launch games, I think.
It came out, I know she was a fan and thought it was cute and adorable and oddly compelling with the story and whatnot. So fair play. That's a good link. And obviously, we're going to come back next week and we're going to talk to you about taking pictures. in the Switch. That's the exciting stuff. But we'll leave it there. I think we're long enough already. So thank you all for listening. I'm glad we were able to sneak away and do one this week. I didn't think we could. If you've been attended the conference this week, then thank you. It's been absolutely awesome. And we've got plenty more coming up in the year. And if you've never attended one of our events before, we genuinely do recommend them. I'm not very good at shilling things because I always feel bad. But I don't feel bad about promoting these things because they're good. I've been to all of them. I can genuinely say they're good things and I learn stuff and I really like them. So hey, go and check out the PG stuff. It's all up there on the site. Matthew, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
And we will be back again next week for more chatter. So do subscribe or whatever it is that people do nowadays, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.